Hello, everyone. My name is Tashiz. I'm also an M4 at NSUMD.
Welcome to the Sink or Swim podcast. On this episode, we will be talking about a letter to our younger selves. So, I am your host, Katie. I'm a fourth year med student at Nova. And then I also have my colleagues and best friends, Stishis and Maria. So, y'all can introduce yourselves.
And I'm Maria. I am also an M4 at NSUMD.
All right, perfect. So I guess the first question when we're kind of thinking about what it is that we would like to tell ourselves or just in general, can y'all tell me when or what made you go into medicine? When did you decide you wanted to pursue a career in medicine?
For me, it started back when I was living in Haiti and when I was a young child, actually, because I think I was also always interested in diseases and their processes and learning how to diagnose and basically treat patients as well. So I think that idea started based on my like personal experience where I had to go to basically the hospital and just really seeing the healthcare system and kind of understanding like there needs to be a change. There needs to be, people that are actually willing to do this work and to help these individuals that are sick or that have like no hope. So I think as a child, that's always been something that I wanted to do, although it did take me a while to get here, but it's always been like in the back of my mind. Like this is something that I want to pursue.
And I think for my end, I think I've honestly, I can't remember a time I didn't want to do medicine. And it may be such a cliche answer, but I've always known that that's what I wanted to do. I don't see myself doing anything else. But like Sashi said, I've always had an interest in medicine and the human body and helping people through providing healthcare. And I think truly the journey to finding what area of healthcare I wanted to focus on is something that happened later on when I decided I wanted to do internal medicine in medical school. But in terms of wanting to pursue a career in medicine, I always kind of knew that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I would definitely say the same, kind of similar to both of you. Started off as like a young kid, and I don't even know what the spark was. It might have been a TV show, it might have been a doctor's appointment that I went to. I don't know. But one day I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna be a doctor. I don't know why. But here we are. I will say that, of course, over time and like getting older, you do start to kind of see why you might have chosen that. And, being 7 or 8 years old, you don't really know. But as I got older and grew, because I had said that's what I wanted to do, that's kind of where my trajectory went naturally. And over time, it really became, I didn't really see any doctors that looked like me. And so I wanted to be a doctor that was a woman. I didn't have any female doctors, and then also a black woman. So, and then, as I continued to get older in high school, I was like in the medical magnet program. And then by the time I got to college, it really grew into wanting to decrease healthcare disparities in my community. And at that time was in Orlando. And just really wanting to be a part of the solution to reducing those healthcare disparities. And yeah, so that's kind of why I wanted to go into medicine. What was your journey like? How did we get to fourth year of medical school?
So for me, after graduating with my first undergraduate degree, well, I had a my degree was in biomedical sciences. I actually worked for Quest Diagnostics for about 4 years, and I wanted to work more in private like medical offices. So I applied for this one position with this interventional radiologist, and I worked with him for about 2.5 years. And doing that, I was preparing for the MCAT, and I also applied for a post-bac degree. So my second bachelor's is in cell and molecular biology. And so during that time, when I was in my that second position, I was applying to medical school, and After that, it brought me to I applied, got accepted, and then now I'm at NSUMD. So I guess if you do the math, it's been over close to 10 years because my first degree was in 2013, and now I'm about to graduate in 2025. So yeah, it's been over 10 years, but you know what? There's a lot that I've learned along the way, and yeah, I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I do believe like you learn from those things, and that's why I am who I am today, and I wouldn't change that. So.
Yeah, for me, I went to school in Colombia until I was like 10, and then I came to the United States and went to University of Florida for college. And I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition. And it was kind of difficult because my family doesn't really speak English. They only speak Spanish, so I didn't really have anyone to guide me through that process. And I think that's an important part of my journey because I want to be that person, you know, being a mentor is something I'm very passionate about, a teacher, someone that, you know, future trainees can rely on, and help be guided by. So that's definitely an important part of my journey. And then I graduated one semester earlier from UF and was a medical scribe for the summer and attended NSUMD. So that's my journey.
Awesome. So, as those of you that are listening can see, there's a lot of different paths that you can go on to get to medicine. For me, I kind of briefly mentioned I was in the medical magnet program in high school. That definitely played a huge role in where I'm at now. But that program was for all 4 years. And then one thing that I remembered specifically was in my last year, we got to do our clinicals, which are similar to rotations that you do in medical school, except it's shadowing. Like they weren't having us do nothing. And I did my clinicals in newborn nursery, pediatrics, and then OBGYN. I really enjoyed it. I was at a hospital in Orlando for all three of those. And then college was pre-med. I started off as a biomedical sciences major for 1 year. And then I switched my major to health sciences preclinical because I was like, this is for the birds. Why are these classes so hard? And I basically was like, if I can do a major that might be a little bit easier for me academically, and I can do, some more fun electives, but still get my prereqs for med school, I'd be great. But little did I know, I struggled my first year and continued to struggle through all of my years of college. And so I graduated with science GPA of a 2.8, undergrad or whatever. Overall GPA was like a 3.3, which you cannot get into medical school with that for most places. And I hadn't taken the MCAT yet. So I was kind of graduated with 2.8, 3.3, and hadn't taken the MCAT. So I was kind of forced to take gap years because I just couldn't apply to medical school. But during that time, I decided to be a teacher because I did a lot of mentoring in high school and college. And so I taught high school for 4 years. I taught a variety of different science classes at a variety of different levels. And then, took the MCAT twice and applied to medical school during the COVID pandemic. And now we're here at NSUMD. So, this question, so for those of you that are watching, I do have a, list of questions, and this question is not on the list. So I'm going to throw a curveball to my co-host. But Maria, you mentioned you wanted to do internal medicine. Stashise, can you tell us what it is that you want to do? And then we'll talk about why we chose the specialties that we chose as well.
Yeah, so for me, it's diagnostic radiology. And why I chose that, it actually again started back when I was a child. And so I broke my left arm, and I had to go to the hospital when I was about like this was about like when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I had to go to the hospital, but I was actually terrified because like in my family, we didn't really go to the hospitals like that unless somebody was dying or it was really like urgent. And so knowing the fact that I would have to go get checked out because I was in so much pain, like I freaked out. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like, what does this mean? Like, am I dying? Like, what's happening to me? So I was terrified. But then when I arrived, of course, seeing the state of the hospital wasn't clearly in the best state that it should have been in. So of course that even freaked me out even more, seeing, the sick patients on the ground. And it was just a really not a pretty scene. And especially as a child taking all that in, it was very overwhelming. But they did an x-ray of my left arm, and I just saw the x-ray. I was like, oh, this wasn't too bad. And so that kind of like shifted my perspective of what medicine was, because I didn't even think about that being a part of medicine, or that being even being in like a possibility of what medicine was. Because I thought it was, people are sick, you give them, shots, you give them this, you give them their medications, and then they're okay. But I never thought like imaging or using this technology could also be involved in that aspect. So that started my whole trajectory to diagnostic radiology, and that's what it's been ever since. So
Awesome. And then Maria, you told us internal medicine, but why internal medicine?
yes, yeah, so the internal medicine. I think it's so funny because I don't know if you felt like that, Sashis, but since we just went through interviews, for those who are listening, so we've had this answer for like we've said it like 20 times in the past year. I just think it's funny. Sorry, my dog. Okay, so for me, internal medicine, I actually came into medical school thinking that maybe family medicine was for me because I scribe for a family medicine physician, and I just really enjoyed the relationships that she had with her patients, how they were so close-knit and it was so rewarding. But once I was in my third year of medical school and I had exposure to OB-GYN and peds and internal medicine, I loved the hospital. I loved that you could still treat a person holistically and have a good relationship with them, but it's in a more acute setting. And I went through pediatrics, and even though I learned a lot and I enjoyed my experience, I knew I would be okay not caring for children and just focusing on adult medicine. So that's another reason why I decided to go with internal medicine. And I've always been a bit of a generalist. Like, I like to dabble in multiple hobbies, and internal medicine really allows that freedom to look at medicine from a big picture perspective, and you don't have to pick a certain system. You're always thinking of all the systems. So I really love that as well.
Thank you for sharing. I'll share my specialty. I am planning on going into OBGYN. Fingers crossed for all of us that we end up where we're supposed to be in a month. For those of you that are listening, this will probably be way after match. And so you shoot, we might even be in residency by the time this come up. There's a backlog, y'all. So we'll see. But I want to go into OBGYN, and I actually came into medical school wanting to do peds, and that all changed during my third year rotations as well, similar to Maria. My first rotation was OB, and I absolutely fell in love. I fell in love with the fact that OB is kind of like a little bit of everything. So you have your outpatient continuity of care, which is in a way, primary care. Like, we are still considered primary care physicians as OBGYNs, which I enjoyed. But then there's also the surgical side of it. So, not just, your C-sections and operative deliveries when you're delivering babies, but the gyn side, all of the surgeries that you can do there, hysterectomies, hysteroscopies, colposcopies, all of these procedures, some of them in office, which is pretty cool. So, every day when you're going to work, like, it could look a little bit different. But then also just scheduling surgeries, outpatient at a surgery center or as a hospitalist, kind of working with any emergencies that come in. But I would say, like, my key moment for deciding for OB was during my second week of the rotation. I got to help deliver a baby with my preceptor. We did what we call hands over hands for a vaginal delivery, and everything was great. The baby was beautiful. It was so fun. And then the mom didn't stop bleeding. And so it was a massive postpartum hemorrhage. And I know Stasheesa and Maria are so tired of hearing this story because they've heard it like 500 times. But Yeah, it was an African American woman. So she, of course, resembles me, close friends, family, and just any minority, pretty much. But, my preceptor was very strong in that moment and really harped on the fact that you always have to be one step ahead when it comes to postpartum hemorrhages and things like that, because the normal signs and symptoms that you would see if someone was bleeding out, it's going to take a lot longer for a pregnant woman because of the physiologic changes that they go through. And so always being one step ahead is what's going to provide the best care for your patient. And kind of delving more into that and knowing that I wanted to reduce healthcare disparities, knowing that I want to work for underserved populations, I definitely feel like women's health is very underserved and very underrepresented in the overall sphere of healthcare. And so I felt like that was the perfect area where I could make a huge difference, in so many ways and in so many aspects. So, and I love delivering babies. So there's that. So awesome. Thank you all for sharing, where we'll be in the next month or so. What has been the best part about medical school?
I think for me, the hardest, or the best part, my
The
bad.
best part. We'll get to the hardest. See, I already want to talk about what's hard about medical school.
Look, I thought I heard best. Okay, rewind. The best part, I believe, about medical school is the amount of knowledge that you learn in the, I guess, 3.5 years that you're in school. Because one thing I've always said, like, I guess, I've always said, like, I know when I'm like getting ready to be a doctor is when I could read those infomercials for those medications and actually know what they're saying. Because back in the
Yes.
days, you're like, I don't know what this is. But now, any medication that comes out, I was like, oh, I know what this class is. And then you listen to the explanations or you listen to the side effects. I'm like, yes, and yes. And I was like, wow, like, I can't believe I actually can comprehend and can understand what they're actually saying. So to me, just the amount of knowledge that you've acquired in that short amount of time, and then how you can actually utilize that in everyday life. So to me, and of course, the people that you meet, I think I've met some lifelong friends that will all also be colleagues. And there's nowhere else that, especially these groups of people that are knowledgeable in healthcare as well, that also understands the struggles of what I'm going through, I think is also a beautiful thing. So that's what I will say are the best part.
Yeah, I think I couldn't have said it better myself. I 100% agree. I think it's really cool seeing how you grow throughout the 4 years, not only knowledge-wise, but personally, and your friendships, how they grow, and you bond because nobody else in your life really understands what you're going through in terms of what it's like to be in medical school. So I think it, like you said, Satish, is such a beautiful thing to have these really strong friendships that will be, lifelong friends and that help you support you through it. And I think it was actually a really great experience and a big part of why that was the case. It's definitely the people that I encountered along the way. So I would have to agree with Sashis for sure.
Awesome. I would say the best thing about medical school, other than the people, agree with everything that you both said. What would I say was the best part? I think for me, the best part was just being immersed in a field that was new to me. So, which is kind of weird to say because, of course, I wanted to be a doctor since I was little. So, this was going to be the field that I was going to go into, no matter what. But I think after, having a career prior to, and then just, the small jobs that you have when you're in college, like I was a server, a hostess at a restaurant. So, there's a lot of customer service involved with that. And just really learning what the healthcare field entails as a whole, because I think one of the things that NSU did really well for us was it did expose us to other professions, not only because we're literally in the same building as them, but like when we had the, what was it, the occupational therapist that day, when we worked with the DO students a little bit, the optometry students. So there's like so many different aspects of healthcare that I didn't even really consider that existed. But it's definitely not just doctors and physicians and things like that. There's so many other avenues that you can go down in order to get to healthcare and provide patient care. So I think that that was like the most exciting part, because now I feel like going in and, graduating in a couple of months, that I feel like I'll be a better, well-rounded physician. And even during residency, like I hope to not just be in my little OBGYN bubble, but to also branch out and meet other co-residents that are a part of different specialties, but then also get to work with everyone else in the hospital, the surgical techs, the nurses, and keep continuing to learn about what they do and how we can all work together to provide the best patient care for all of our patients that come in. So, yeah. So now, Stashise, what is the most challenging, or what was, because I think we're over the hump, what was the most challenging part of medical school?
I think for me, being out of school for so long and basically having a routine where I was comfortable and I was living life, to the best of my abilities and really, doing what I had to do. But I guess going back into that routine and having to study to relearn how to study again, I think that transition was really difficult for me, and I would say it would be the most challenging part. And I think also, not having to work, not having like that stable income to really do what it is that you want to do. So having to, budget extremely tight and ensuring that, you're going to be covered because you're depending on the loans or whatever that you have. So I think that was probably the challenge, the most challenging things for me.
Yes, from my end, I think definitely time management, being able to manage school and also family life and friends and still, living life while attending medical school, because as you guys know, our time is very limited. And so I think life sometimes just happens, like a family member passed away and you just gotta keep going and you wish time would stop so you could take a little breather. But it doesn't really work like that, and you have to make it work. So I think that was a challenge, the most challenging part of medical school for sure. But now we're here. We're almost done. So that's great.
Yeah, no, I could totally relate to both of those things. I'm going to be greedy and say three things. And I'm going to say three things because for me, the challenge kept changing. Like, there was one challenge that was definitely there throughout all of medical school. But I felt like each year there was a different thing that I had to overcome. So I would definitely say first year, the challenge was, kind of similar to Stashise, kind of being out of school, but I struggled a lot with the fact that I am imposter syndrome for sure, but there was always something in the back of my head that was like, you struggled so much in undergrad, why do you think that you can do well in medical school? And so when it came to, our first block of fundamentals, and everyone has to learn how to learn in medical school. Nothing can really prepare you for how you're going to study and how you're going to end up being successful academically in medical school. But there was always, like, before every test and after every test, I was the one who's like, I failed it. I failed it. I know I failed it. But then I never actually failed it. So it was just one of those things where it was lack of confidence. And I think that that was the biggest struggle that I had, specifically during the preclinical years. I'm glad that those years are over. But I'm also happy to say that now that I've gone through it, I definitely have more confidence in myself academically and knowing that I can actually learn something, because at one point I didn't think I could. Clinical years was just, what was that? I don't know. It was a blur. That was a year of my life that I don't fully understand a lot of things that happened. But I think for me, the challenge was work constantly being on, and constantly meeting new people that you had to work with. And you kind of had to impress because, you know, people are doing your evaluations and you always want to get a good evaluation. But if you're working with, you know, a different set of residents every week on a 4 week rotation, it can get very, very tiring. And, you know, you're going home, you're trying to study, you're also trying to figure out when you can eat, when you can shower. And there, once again, there's no preparation. There's no way that you can prepare to time manage for clinical rotations in third year. You do get better, but it's just tough, and especially for rotations like surgery where you're up super early and you're getting home late and things like that. It was definitely a challenge. And then I would say the last challenge is patience, being able to wait for things. And, you know, we just kind of finished our residency application season, and now we are working on our rank order list and submitting those. And then after we submit, we still have to wait to figure out if we matched, and then we have to wait again to figure out where we matched. So I thought that I had a lot of patience coming into medical school, but I think that this is the most impatient that I've ever been, because I really just want to know where I'm going and what it is that I'm doing for the next 4 years of my life. So yeah, all that to say, medical school is great and I would do it all over again. I know, I know. If there was one thing that you could change about your journey, what would it be?
I think for me, maybe not take too long to get back into school. But again, like I get to me, that's the only thing I would change. And maybe like trying to understand my study habits a little bit earlier than later. But again, like it was a process that I guess you had to learn through it. You had to go through certain things in order for you to teach the next generation in a sense. So, yeah, I guess those would be the only two things that I could say that I would change, but everything else, I don't think would, I guess I would change for the most part. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have many things that I would change. Something, if I could change, that I would definitely change is not having to take out loans. Like, just having medical school paid for would have been amazing. I think we would all change that. But other than that, I think everything happens for a reason and we grow because of the things that we go through, even the challenges and the obstacles. So I wouldn't really change anything else about my journey.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I wouldn't change the path that I took. I wouldn't have changed like all of those things because I, like you all said, everything happens for a reason and there are lessons that can be learned in everything. The one thing that I would maybe change would be like my mindset, and I would have tried not to sweat the small stuff as much and try not to focus on things that I can't control and really put more effort and focus into things that are in my control. Because I feel like not, you know, most people that go to medical school, we're type A personality, so we want to control everything. But you just can't. And so if you can really hone in on all the stuff that you have some power over, I feel like that will do you better than stressing on, for instance, things like evaluations. I mean, you can only control so much, and then it's in somebody else's hand to do the rest. But just kind of knowing that at the end of the day, everything is going to work out and everything is going to be okay. But yeah, the journey itself, I'm all right with it. I keep it the same. Okay, so next question, next topic. What were some of your biggest misconceptions about medical school, and how did it turn out in reality? My biggest misconception was that I would be in class all day and not have any time to do anything. And in reality, at least at our school, we did not have mandatory lectures for the 8 to 10 block. And then we had to be there for PBL from 10 to 12. So 4 days out of the week, I was only on campus for 2 hours. And then on Tuesdays, we were there from 8 to 5. So I had a lot of time and I got to sleep in 4 days out of the week, excluding the weekends.
Yeah, I would have to agree because I couldn't think of something, but I do believe that's one thing that I've heard over and over again. Like, once you're in med school, you're not going to have time for anyone. You're not going to have time to see your family. You're not going to have time to do anything. And I mean, as long as you're able to organize your time and plan things accordingly, there's still time to do a little bit of the stuff that you used to do. So, yeah, I will agree with that.
Agreed. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Definitely, you hear, oh, you're in medical school, you have time for nothing. And although I did have less time than I did before, don't get me wrong, you do have to study a lot, like you guys know. I still had time to like watch a show with my boyfriend, visit my mom in the weekend. Like, you do still have time if you have the time management skills will you just develop over time as you progress through medical school and adapt to the workload, like anything, but I think other than that, another thing that I thought was a misconception was that oh, in medical school, it's a lot of competition and it's a hostile, it could be a hostile environment, but maybe it's just our school, but I did not feel like that at all. Like, maybe it's because we're pass fail, but I felt like it was very cooperative, at least with my friends. Like, we always shared, we always supported each other, even if we were going into the same specialty. So I didn't really feel that that was true. I know that's probably true in some places, but I was grateful that it wasn't the case in our school.
Ooh, another misconception. I don't know if y'all thought this, but going into rotations, I assumed that every specialty did 24s, and apparently that's not true, right? Because internal medicine, they didn't do it 24s. Radiology, do y'all do 24s?
No, I don't believe so. I feel like I would have known that if we did.
No, like I remember like thinking like, oh, third year rotations, like, we're gonna be working like 80 hours a week, like the residents, we're gonna be like working night shifts, have to go in every single weekend. And
Oh,
thank
you mean for the rotation, like the actual rotation?
Yeah.
No, like the radiology rotation, it was like from 8 to 12. Like, it was split into half days. So you decided if you want to come in the morning or if you want to do the afternoon. So I don't know what that came from.
Reddit.
Of course.
Always Reddit. Yeah, I was very scared about that. I'm like, I don't know if I can be up for 24 hours. The first time I worked a 24-hour shift was on an audition rotation. It was never at NSU. So if you don't want to do 24-hour shifts in your third or fourth year, maybe you should come to NSUMD. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was weird. I don't know. I think it was Reddit that made me think that, but misconception. I will say though, third year, you don't have a lot of time. First and second year, yeah, but third year, that's when it gets a little dicey. But definitely when you're driving home and stuff, make sure to call your family and things like that.
Definitely.
What would you tell your younger self about handling stress and maintaining your mental health?
Ooh, as a believer and somebody who goes to church and prays all the time, I mean, really get into that routine of whenever things are feeling stressful or you're having a difficult time, go back to the things that you know that works for you and really use those to help you manage those things. Because sometimes, when you're tired and you feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, but that could be that one thing that could be helping you manage that. And to me, it's always because I have like my Bible on my phone, so it's always like reading a verse or meditating on like some type of music or whatever that might be, but really utilizing those tools that you know work for you and don't like neglect them, so even when things get a lot, so really, really hone into those things and use them like to your, I guess, best benefit.
Yes, I agree. I think for me it would be just keep going to the gym, okay? Because all the endorphins, I'm always in a good mood after I go to the gym, and just tell my younger self, like, just because you don't study for 1 hour to go to the gym, it doesn't mean that you're not gonna pass that test. Like, relax. It's actually gonna help you, I think, understand the material better and give yourself a much needed break. So it's okay to take time to take care of yourself. Even if there's a test coming up, you just have to schedule it around your studying hours, but it's gonna be such a huge benefit to actually take the time for yourself. It's not You shouldn't feel guilty about it, because I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with. Like, you're at the movie theater, you're like, oh my God, I should be studying. I should be studying right now. I should be doing New World. I should be studying. And I think, even, of course, not, don't like go to the movies every single day. But if you take time for yourself, you need to remember, like, you can't pour from an empty cup, is what I'm trying to say, to stop rambling. So I think that's something that I definitely would tell my past, my younger self.
Yeah, I definitely agree with those. Just a warning, don't do spin hit if you don't work out. That could end very badly for you. So
Almost killed Katie. I feel so bad.
are you okay with sharing that story? Because I think
of course you want me to share this story. This story will never not be shared. So my lovely friends, Stashish, you weren't there for spin and hit. Stashish did not go, but Maria and Reina,
Yeah, that was me.
who were bet who I don't I'm not gonna say beg, but I was asked on multiple occasions to go to this spin
We
class.
basically begged her, it's true.
And every week I'd be like, nah, I'm good, I'm good. And then finally I was like, they keep asking me, all right, I'm gonna go to the spin class. They did not tell me it was spin plus hit, number one. Number two, so I get there and we do, I don't know spin hit. I don't know nothing. All I know is that spin is on a bicycle and you do stuff. I'm not a gym rat. I don't even ride my own bike. I don't remember the last time I had a bike. So I get there and we get on the cycle and we did like maybe like 5 minutes on the bike. And then, because we got there a little bit late, so we didn't do the full like 8 or 9 minutes that we had. And I kid you not, I got off the bike and my legs were jelly. I could not walk. And I've never experienced that in my life, but it was crazy. And so the guy, he's like, you know, you can always modify and things like that. I modified the crap out of that spin hit class. But lo and behold, every single day, my legs were sore, but the soreness kept getting worse. To the point where I think we went to spin hit on Monday, and by it was either Monday or Tuesday, but by Thursday, I remember we had TBL, and I was wearing a blue jumpsuit that I'm looking at right now in my closet, and it hurts to have the jumpsuit on my legs. I could not put my 1 pound iPad on my legs. I have a pillow on my legs right now, and I couldn't do it. It literally hurt so bad. It made me physically nauseous. And so I start looking stuff up because I'm like, I feel like this isn't normal for me to be in this much pain. Called my mom. She's like, girl, you're fine. You're just overreacting. And I'm Googling and I'm like, well, there's this thing called rhabdomyolysis. And it's like the destruction of your muscles, like large body muscles, and apparently it can turn your urine really dark and look bloody because of the myoglobin that's spilling out from your dead muscles. And I'm like, I don't know, but the way they're describing the pain, I feel like that's what I have. And my mom swore up and down. She's like, girl, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a wuss. You don't have rhabdo. And the thing that was crazy is I never heard of it, but it said it was potentially a life-threatening condition. It could cause you to go into kidney failure. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe I don't have it. Maybe I am a wuss, but I will tell you, if I wake up tomorrow and my urine is dark, I think I have rhabdomyolysis. And that's exactly what happened the very next morning. And I had to call an ambulance to come pick me up because I could not drive my car. I could not move. And I was lucky enough to be able to get to the door to unlock it. And then I had to go back in the bed and they had to physically pick me up from my bed to move me into the ambulance stretcher. And I was in the hospital for a week.
I was shook. I was so shook. I was like, oh my God. We just convinced her to go to the slas, and now homegirl is like laying in the hospital bed because of us. And we felt terrible, you guys. We felt terrible. But we were there with her in the hospital, supporting her as well. So don't think that, we just caused damage and abandoned her. But yeah,
And for me, and
it was so sad.
yeah, like the reason why I didn't attend the class, because I've had my experience with spin class and I did not like the little seats. Like those were just so uncomfortable for me. I never got used to them. So I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna go. I think that's why. But I mean, I'll go
Wow.
to the gym, but just not the spin class. I was like, nah, I'm good. So yeah.
Yep. So that was first year. That was right before the last fundamentals exam, the final exam. And yeah, I could have died, but here we are today. I am alive and I have yet to get back on a bike. So
And now
there's
I
that.
just invite her to go to the gym with me, and she can go on the treadmill at her own pace.
Yes, we love that. Now, that's one thing your girl loves. We love the treadmill. I can do the treadmill. That's about it. Because also, I can read on the treadmill. So then I forget that I'm on the treadmill. But enough about, almost losing your life. Let's see. What is the most important thing a first-year medical student should know?
One of the most important things is, which one?
I think that they should know that it's okay to ask for help. That, I think something that I'm glad I knew, or like something that is very important, or the most important thing is ask like your second year medical students, third, fourth years, like that's what we're here for, and just reach out, ask for help, ask faculty, lean on your family members, ask for help, because it really takes a village, and there's no shame in seeking support, seeking advice. I think that's the best thing that you could do for yourself is seek advice from a lot of people and make the best decision for you. And learn from others' mistakes as well. So I think that's something that I would tell any first year medical student, to be able to reach for help and learn from the people around you.
And I think for me, like when they say that medical school is like drinking from a fire hose, it really is, but you have to hit the ground running, and basically trying to figure out what works for you, like in the beginning, because once you are ready and well prepared in the beginning, that's gonna help and set the base for you, like for the rest of the years. But if you're trying to catch on, like that first year is gonna it's gonna be more difficult to catch on, like later on. So if you can find what works for you, whether it's studying habits, whether it's your weaknesses or whatever that might be, but definitely figure that out like within that first year so the rest of your years could be a lot smoother. So.
Yeah, I would say agree with both of those things. I would also say don't buy everything before medical school starts. Like, I think a stethoscope is great and everything, but And I love my first stethoscope because it does have my name on it, but I had to go back and purchase a whole nother stethoscope that matched the school. And so I ended up with two stethoscopes because my stethoscope was not the school required one. So, I think sometimes we get excited about getting into medical school and then we start like buying things, we start buying books, and oh, maybe I want to buy every single third-party resource like Sketchy and Physio and Boards and Beyond and Amboss. Save your money and try and work with your class. Well, first off, see whatever school you decide to go to, see what they provide themselves, because I also purchased Lecturio for 4 years and then my school had it for free. So that was a good $600 I could have kept to myself. So just be careful of that. Make sure that you know what your school is going to offer you. But then if there's any other resource that you want that is very popular that you want to try out, definitely utilize free trials because not every program is going to work for every individual. So you want to, definitely look at different videos and look at how things are presented differently, and then kind of decide from there which one is going to match your learning style best. And then also group discounts are great. I know that we did a group discount for Boards and Beyond, and prior to us having AMBOSS, our school provided us with AMBOSS our second year. But prior to that, we also did a class group discount for that. So be careful with your money. Also, Anki is not Bible. It is not the end all be all. If Anki doesn't work for you, don't force it. You can still be successful in medical school without Anki. But if you love it, great. So yeah. All right. Well, we're starting to wind down and we're gonna do our last question. So you have 5 minutes to go back in time and meet with your younger self. What would you say in those 5 minutes?
What I would say is, it's gonna work out. Believe in yourself, have faith, and what you're here for a reason, and you have a purpose. Just don't give up, and know that everything's gonna work out. I think simple as that. So, and just take it as whatever comes, take it as it comes. But just know that everything is gonna work out.
100%. That's like, I think we have telepathy going on here because Sashi's, that's exactly what I would tell my younger self, because I wouldn't really change anything of how things happen, but I think it would have been really nice to have a assurance that it will work out. Kind of being like, just do what you're gonna do, keep doing you, have faith, believe in yourself, keep trying your best every day, and you will be okay. Like, try not to stress that much, because you will see the reward and you'll be where you want to be. You just don't give up and try to enjoy life. I think I think it's good to, have goals and aspirations, but I would not recommend saying like, oh, I'll be happy once I'm in residency. I mean, I'll be happy once I'm out of town. No, try to be happy today, because you never know, God forbid, you cross the street and there's a big truck and you're gone. And not to be morbid, but you really, no day is guaranteed, no matter your age, no matter anything. So I think just try to be happy with every day as a gift. Do your best and you'll get there.
Yeah, definitely. If I could go back in time, I would tell my younger self, there were three jobs that I said I wanted to do at some point in my childhood. I wanted to be a server at a restaurant. I said I wanted to be a teacher, and I said I wanted to be a doctor. And I would tell my younger self, you're going to be a server, you're going to be a teacher, and you're going to be a doctor. And why are you going to be all those three things? Because you're going to have a unique journey in getting to the ultimate goal of becoming a doctor. But all of the experiences that you will have prior to that are going to make you the best doctor that you can ever be. It's going to make you you. And the journey is going to feel like a roller coaster, and you're going to feel like you want to give up. And there are going to be multiple times where you actually consider giving up on all three of those dreams. But don't, because it's going to happen. So, yeah, that's what I would tell little Katie. All right, so Stashise, Maria, any parting words as we close out this sink or swim episode?
Thank you for having us in this episode and really allowing us to reflect on our journey this far. So, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. Good luck, everyone. Whatever your journey is, you got this.
Of course, and thank you, my lovely co-hosts and best friends, for helping me with this episode. And I know that we're all going to end up exactly where we're supposed to be. And thank you to all of our listeners for always sticking by and enjoying our Sink or Swim podcast episodes. And if you don't hear from Stashise and Maria again, which you probably will, because I'll probably ask them to do another episode with me, you'll hear me again because I have three more to do. So, good luck on your journey to medicine, and always remember that you should try to swim and not sink.